Hey, I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh, the Los Angeles Angels and 66ers baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
Hey, what is up? It is your boy, Johnny Mags, back at you once again for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am joined, as always, with
Dan Garcia.
And we are at Halo Haven headquarters.
Say what?
We're actually in studio for the first time this year.
Yeah.
Crazy.
First time this year and what, like the second time in 2 years? Seems like it.
Yep.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah. No, we're back. It's a little warm. It's summertime, but you know, the air conditioner's kicking. And
dog days of summer.
Right. Literally. Not a great week for the Angels, obviously. You're listening to us, you're watching the game, so we'll get into that right now. But let's introduce our new sponsor from SeatGeek. Let them take the confusion out of your ticket buying experience. Instead of shopping dozens of sites to find the best deal, let SeatGeek do the work for you.
Their app scans the web for the best deals to your favorite game, concert, or show, and rates them on a scale of 0 to 10 to let you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck. A green dot makes a great deal, a yellow dot means a good deal, and a red dot, not so good deal.
So use promo code ACAA at checkout to receive $20 off your first purchase. That's 2 free beers at the stadium on them. What are you waiting for? That's promo code ACAA for $20 off your first purchase.
Fight Geek, Seat Geeks, life's an event. We have the tickets.
Yeah, check out Seat Geek. So let's get into it. Not a very good week. We were talking about in the last podcast, this was a week where the Angels should have picked up some ground.
Yeah, talk about highs and lows.
It didn't happen. Obviously, you guys, like I said, you guys have watched the games like we have, and it just wasn't happening for the Angels. As we recorded on Thursday. Did we record on Thursday?
Yeah, we recorded on Thursday.
On Thursday, the Angels were getting ready to play the A's or the O's. And this was like
elemental P's.
Yeah. This was the longest game of the season, obviously.
Brutal. 6 hours and 19 minutes.
This one was a game where Suarez went 4-30, gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk, and 6 Ks. Again, Suarez's inability to get deep into games. We'll talk about that later, too.
Even more so in this game, a game like this, it goes, like you said, 16 innings. You'd see 4-30, you're like, okay, that's kind of normal what it is. But then when it turns into the marathon that it did, you're like, man, I really wish we could have got another inning in a third or inning in 2/3 out of them.
It just wasn't happening. So instead of going play by play, we're just kind of I'm going to break it down to like the main points here. The Angels were down 3 going into the bottom of the 15th.
Johnny was asleep.
I was long asleep. I was not waiting.
Did you even get to the 9th inning?
I got to the 10th inning. Stayed up until about 11:30, and then I was like, I got to go to sleep.
This is great. The game ended on Friday.
Bottom of the 15th, or top of the 15th, the O's score 3. Angels down 3 going into that bottom half of the 15th. They actually tied it up, and I believe that's a play where there was a play.
Yeah, the Fletcher play where they brought people around, and you know, Fletcher got called out at the plate. He would have been the walk-off run. A lot of people obviously were really pissed off about it. A lot of people were mad that they felt he was safe. They felt that he was able to get in underneath the tag, but I think, truthfully, it's one of those plays where if it was called safe on the field, it probably would have continued to be safe. It wouldn't have been overturned. But the same way, I think it got called out at the plate, so that means you need undisputable visual evidence, and I just don't think there was any of that from the replays we saw. I don't know what New York or the other guy saw, but I just don't think there was a definitive angle to show for sure that he was safe, and I think that's what hurt the Angels.
No doubt that I looked at the play and I go, man, if he would have been called safe, they wouldn't have turned.
They would turn it over. Yeah, it's so, one of those things where it whatever the call on the field is huge, because there wasn't enough evidence one way or the other to switch it out. And some people swear he was safe, and you know, whatever. But I honestly could not think about it at all, because I honestly thought that if it was flipped the other way and he was called safe, there wasn't going to be anything to overturn it.
So obviously the Angels tied it. They didn't take the lead, didn't win it. So in the top of the 16th, the Brewers – why do I keep messing up the O's?
O's, B's,
A's,
L's.
Whatever. The O's scored 2 runs on a home run by, I believe, VR. And then in the bottom of the 8th or 16th, Steve Wilkerson, their center fielder, comes in to close the game, topping out at a whopping 57 miles per hour.
Dude, honestly, I heard a podcast. He was on ESPN's Baseball Tonight podcast, I think like 2 days later. And he said he did that on purpose because he knows as a center fielder, as a position player, you're seeing 95, 98, 91 all game long. And now here's this 50, or whatever you said, 55.
Eighth pitch.
And now your timing's all done. And you only need three outs. It's not like he's there for five innings so you can get your timing right. I mean, if you're so used to just swinging hard at these fast balls right down the middle, I mean, as a baseball player, you're trained from what? High school, when you're probably seeing 80 at high school and maybe 90 at the top levels, to high school or to college and the pros, where all you see is 90. Now this dude comes in 55, and you haven't hit 55 since you were in little league, and now you have to worry about the timing and it was something that could, you never know, maybe they'll start doing that more often. Like, hey, let's throw a 55 out there every once in a while to get their timing off.
Yeah. So the Angels lose this one 10-8 heading into Friday's game. Obviously, using all their pitchers, Canning was two innings.
And I think this was an omen for the rest of the week, definitely the rest of the series. You said use Canning, the next day starter. So now you're kind of in spot start territory with Tropiano getting this start. But Canning being used two innings and ultimately giving up five earned runs the night before now, or not even the night before, it's like the morning of. So now Tropiano obviously got the call up.
He got called up. He went five innings, gave up six hits, seven earned runs, three walks, three Ks. I mean, he struggled right out the bat, allowing a run in the first and then six runs in the second.
They had to keep him in there. At that point, you have no options at this point, you use Buttrey, you use Robles, you use all your big guys, and some of these guys already pitched 3 days in a row. I think Buttrey was a 3 day in a row guy. Robles was a 3 day in a row guy. Mm-hmm. Noé Ramírez went home sick on Thursday because they didn't want whatever he had to kind of spread. So he wasn't there for Thursday, and he wasn't there. I mean, he was there for the Friday game, but how he felt, how good he felt, how effective would he have been was a whole different story. But you were just kind of like, hey, you're gonna have to bite the bullet, we need you to sink the eat up innings. And he went five, like he said, went five innings, gave up seven earned runs off of six hits, so obviously walks were an issue. The six runs in the second was just,
that's just
huge.
I mean, the Angels offense did not get on the board until the fifth, and then
right, and that was a Theis and one, yeah, Theis
one more
and
in
Upton,
the ninth,
and Upton home runs.
That was it. They lost 9-3. Nothing to write home. They lost 9-3.
But like I said, you kind of felt after the Thursday game like this is going to be a long series, regardless of who they're playing, just because they went to
pretty much played an extra game.
They played an extra game, and for a bullpen that's already taxed and a bullpen that has pitched a lot of innings, and I'll get to it at the end of the week. But you start seeing that, especially with Buttrey blowing the save on Thursday in the eighth inning, that kind of again opened up the doors for the marathon game that it was.
So moving into Saturday, Angels were hoping to get on the board and tie the series up. At least salvage a series split. Dylan Peters got the start.
Another spot start.
Four innings pitched, seven hits, two in runs, two walks, two Ks. This one was also a back and forth one. It gave me a little bit like, oh God, not again, not another long one.
But the thing about this one too is, and again, like we said, Buttrey's struggling. Buttrey's been really, really, really worked. I mean, he went a third in an inning and gave up two earned runs and got the loss.
Yeah.
So again, when your best guys aren't performing because of the usage in the last couple of days, it what can you do? You can only play the cards that it dealt. And then when that top arm is tired and he needs a day off, or he can't perform the way he's used to, you're kind of at the mercy of it. That's why they have 25-man rosters.
The O's would hold off the Angels 8-7. They would lose. To me, a little bright spot on this was that Cahill went three innings, only giving up one run. He struck out.
Right. I forgot. I saw it on Twitter somewhere. Cahill's ERA since being moved to the bullpen, I think, is sub-3. I think it was like 2.8 or 2.9 or something like that.
You got to remember, he was a huge part of that Cubs bullpen when they won the World Series, too. He was that guy that would come in and kind of close sixth inning guy.
And not only that, he kind of lost his shot as a starter, I think, as the Angels. And so being on a one-year contract, now he's auditioning. Now he's trying to show teams that he is able to maybe not start, but hey, I can be a guy out of the bullpen that can give you two innings easy. And so he's almost now auditioning for that next team, whether it be the Angels, and they bring him back on a smaller contract in the bullpen arm. I know fans will probably hate seeing that, but if you can get him at a discounted rate,
not for cheap,
but say if you can get him at a discounted rate and tell him right off the bat, hey, you're not starting, you're the bullpen guy, you're the guy that our starter goes 4 1/3. Guess what? You're pitching two innings this game to get us through some hard innings. That's you. If you get that cheap, then I think that's what he's really auditioning for right now. Because I think his days as a starter, next year with another team or whatever, I don't think they're going
to
come back.
So heading into Sunday's game, the best Angels could hope for was to salvage a series by winning one. Peña got the start. He went 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. The Angels will take the lead as they score 2 in the second, courtesy of Matt Theis.
Theis pulls one into the right field corner. Mancini's back. That is gone. Big fly for Matt Theis.
And then the Angels, or the O's, would take a 4-2 lead into the top of the fifth. And in the bottom of the sixth, Albert would hit his 650th career home run.
Big
home.
And then wasn't that the 100th or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, at Angel Stadium.
At Angel Stadium. So he ties things up at 4, and it would stay that way until the bottom of the ninth when Matt Theis does this.
Theis, guys went out toward right center field. Wilkerson moving back at the track, at the wall. Gone! Drive home safely!
And the Angels, like I said, would salvage a win in the final game of the series against the A's to avoid the sweep. They win this one 5-4.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's Theis, and Theis. Something that I kind of came from this game, like he said Peña 5 innings.
Yeah.
4 runs, but only 1 earned. He had a fielding error, a throwing error that cost those extra runs. But also something to watch out for, obviously, we're recording this on Thursday, so there's no game going on, so you know. But his next start is something to look out for. He had a really bad cut.
Oh, yeah, on his hand,
at his thumb, pretty much right below that knuckle, between the first and second knuckle. And the way they were explaining it on TV and stuff like that was that his index finger on his throwing hand, so his right hand, is long because he uses it to grip the ball on for his curveball. Helps him with the grip and the spin. Well, when he throws his changeup, his off-speed, that finger tends to slide right, like I said, between the two knuckles on the thumb.
Uh-huh.
And over time, the more he throws a changeup because of that finger, it's going to cut.
Right.
So, and I don't know about you, but this is the first time I've ever seen a player leave the game. Not obviously not get pulled from the game, but ask the umpire, hey, can we get this bleeding under control? And sure enough, he went to the dugout. They did a little. They wiped it down. They could not put like a liquid Band-Aid on because of the whole foreign substance rule. So they had to do kind of wipe it down and just kind of hold it and hope it's not bleeding. And through the whole game, it was super obvious from the telecast and stuff like that. So for Peña being the only Angel starter that started the season right now that's still in the rotation, for him to be that guy, and so this is, you know, something that the Angels need him to continue being going out there, and hopefully the thumb cut thing, whatever, isn't too serious, but it's definitely something to keep an eye out for.
For sure. So heading into Monday, they're going to play the Tigers, another team that they should beat. Tigers come into this series with, like, only 30 wins. Barria got the start. He went 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 in runs, 5 Ks. He didn't pitch bad, but the offense just looked off balance, man. Mustering single runs in the 5th and 6th innings. Ty Buttrey continues to struggle.
Yeah.
As of late, allowing 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th. And this pretty much put the game away when Buttrey gave up those 3 runs. The Angels end up losing this one.
Yeah, and exactly. Buttrey, again, struggling. I mean, I don't know. You know, you look at his usage comparative to other relievers in Major League Baseball, and he's maybe in the teens as far as innings pitched. You know, so I don't know as far as those other players how high leverage, low leverage, what their situation is. But you would think Buttrey is kind of almost maybe hitting a wall. He's still a young arm that needs to develop maybe that kind of stamina throughout the season. And he got picked up super late at the end of the year last year and got called up to the Angels. So he only pitched really a month and a half of Major League Baseball last year. Now he's asked to do a huge workload. And his first real full season with the Angels, you know, you kind of worry that he's hitting kind of a wall. And you hope that you know, they have a day off today. Maybe he doesn't pitch tomorrow. Maybe you kind of save him for Saturday, Sunday, and see. Hopefully he bounces back. But, yeah, definitely a tough week for Buttrey.
So they're moving into Tuesday's game. The Angels, again, man, they need to get their wins anytime they can get them. In this one, Canning went six innings, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 7 Ks. He was looking to bounce back after his last couple of starts. He didn't do just well. And more importantly than just bouncing back, saving the bullpen. And he was able to go six innings, had to go into the seventh.
First six inning start since Harvey's last, or not his last game, but his last good game. He had one game after that, and then he got released.
The Angels would get ahead early in the second when Theis puts them ahead with a two-run home run.
And Theis hits one out toward right field, towering shot, chasing Castellanos back near the wall. Gone! Big fly for Matt Theis, a two-run blast, and the Angels have taken the early lead.
So, you know, with that, the Angels would tack on three more runs, and in the seventh, Matt Theis adds to his RBI total, driving in one more. As the Angels hold off the Tigers 6-1, they needed to get a win.
Yeah, they needed
to get a win.
And you know what happens with the win?
Right now, he'd be saying, we're nasty.
So, heading into Wednesday's game, they're hoping to take the series against the Tigers. Another game where Suarez just cannot get deep into games. He goes 4 1/3, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, no Ks. Just a tough game. The Angels just one run, and it came in the sixth on who else? Mike Trout home run.
Yeah, you know.
The offense was non-existent.
Worthy.
Yeah.
The
offense was non-existent, and the bullpen, the tax bullpen again. Well, Luis Garcia gives up five runs
in one inning. Again, I think that's more of a play at that point where we need you to get at least through this inning. We can't afford to pull you after like a third or two thirds. We need you to get a full inning. You know, you kind of felt once Suarez got out after 4 1/3. Okay, this is the plan. Damn if you struggle, but we can't afford to go any more than this. So. With this off day today, again, recording Thursday, you hope that they're able to reset. They already kind of resetted their starting pitching staff with Canning going on Wednesday or Tuesday and Suarez going yesterday on Wednesday. Now with this off day, you kind of hope that they're able to reset the bullpen and give everybody a day off and everybody, some guys even 2 days off, depending on who pitched that last game on Wednesday. So, it's going to be the kind of like the long haul at this point. It's really going to be really, really interesting to see how the rest of the season goes.
Exactly. So that wraps it up for the week. We do have a little bit of news. The Angels were busy at the trade deadline. They made a move.
Yeah.
I'm not upset.
We'll get into it more because there's email questions about it. But the news part of it is Max Stassi got picked up by the Angels catcher. Has played an itty-bitty little bit of first base with the Astros, but definitely most of his time has been at catcher for two minor leaguers, both two 18-year-olds that played in Arizona. So, again, they traded two outfielders that are 18 that are long shots to be, major league players in general.
Especially with the outfield depth.
And you can seriously argue that the outfield has the most depth in the Angels' farm system, with like obviously we got the Joe News, Brandon Jones, you got other guys like Hormacio that's still there, that's kind of like an in-betweener kind of guy.
Jordan Adams,
they have plenty of outfielders. You got
even Torrey Hunter Jr.
But the big thing is you got Trout signed for a long-term deal, so that you're guaranteed one outfield position for the next however long the 10 years his contract is. So now you have. Like pretty much, like you said, like 5-6 guys that play two positions for going forward. So losing two 18-year-olds that were kind of, I don't want to say high risk, because you just never know with prospects. They could very easily be an all-star player, in 4 or 5 years. But you just with those kind of prospects, you just honestly just don't know.
And with the depth, the Angels have a catcher, high level catching. They just don't have it right now. So in order to pick up a guy like Stassi, it's just more depth.
Yeah, we'll get to it again. We got emails about this and on our Twitter and – or not Twitter, on our Instagram and on our email. So, we'll get to it a little bit more later about as far as what we think. This is a good time, I think, for me to plug. If you're listening to this podcast now, you probably noticed that there's a podcast that dropped earlier in the day. I was able to I was sitting down.
There you go.
But I don't know what Rhett was doing. I don't know. He could have been standing up on a treadmill. I don't know. Elliptical. But anyway, I was able to talk to Rhett Bollinger again, second time on the podcast. And I said it in that podcast. It's pretty cool when these guys come on for like the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you feel like, hey, he didn't hate it. We did something right. So he came back on. We talked this trade. We talked trades that did not happen. Trades that were close to happening that didn't happen. Some Garrett Cole kind of itty bitty news that's interesting for Angels fans. Kind of like what they go forward, Joe Adell news, because honestly, I literally pushed send on the phone to call him right when the Joe Adell news broke that he got promoted to AAA. So we talked about that and the kind of where you see they see he sees them at, you know, spring September call up next year or whatever. But if you're listening to this, definitely go back and listen to the one before this with Rhett Bollinger because it is a lot of fun and he knows. I mean, he works for MLB.com. If anyone's going to be in the know, it's going to be the guy that works for Major League Baseball. So, yeah, definitely check it out.
Absolutely. So I don't have anything as far as news. So
yeah, other than the minor trade, you know, I kind of spoke on it a little bit right now. Joe Adell got called up to AAA. Uh-huh. He's actually playing tonight. Everyone was thinking he's going to play tomorrow. He's playing tonight.
Nice.
So one step closer to the big leagues, and he was absolutely killing it in Mobile. Once he came back from his injury, and he had a five-game stint something around there with Inland Empire. But ever since being up in Mobile, he's been killing the ball. And again, if you're a loyal listener, you heard my interview with Taylor Blake Ward and from Locked On Angels, and he said expect him to move any day now. And today was the day. So other than that, that's the news for the Angels today.
Awesome. All right, so let's get into the commercials, and then we'll come back and we have a segment of the show coming.
The return.
This week. It's crazy. I don't know. I don't even know what to do with my hands right now. So
yeah, I don't know. But, I hope he's ready.
Yeah, let's get into commercials, and we'll come back on the other side with Paul and then your favorite segment of the show.
Before we go, it's a new season. Antonio Brown is a Raider. Le'Veon Bell is a Jet, and Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. The one thing that doesn't change, where I'm putting my money down and on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every week, and MyBookie has better bonuses and even more prop bets than other sports books, period. This year, they are hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it only costs you $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb up the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that has been good to me. MyBookie has live in-game betting and on every NFL game. They've got the most reward player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the under-over on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and get up to 200 in free bets. Use promo code ANGELS to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code ANGELS when creating your account to claim your bonus. Bet, win, get paid. That's MyBookie.ag.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
This is Hook Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
And we are back. Thank you to our sponsors, Groom Goon, www.epicradiotv.com, and of course, MyBookie and SeatGeek. All right, so every week we do have a segment on the show. Daniel, go for it, man.
Yeah, so like you said, every week we are try to, at least every week, put a question up on our Twitter. That's Halo_Haven. And we try to ask you guys, get your guys' opinion on things. And honestly, like for the past, I would say, month, we're getting actually a really good response, a lot of votes, which is cool to see that this is kind of growing and this is kind of doing its thing, and people are giving their opinions, not only voting, but are commenting on it. So that's really cool. So this week, trade deadline week, I asked with Billy Epler's contract is coming up. Is he on the hot seat? 66% of the people said no. 34% of the people said yes. Where do you sit on this?
No. I think there's a lot of people who are kind of seeing just the negative part of Epler's signings. Oh, Harvey wasted all that money, and Harvey wasted all that money on Cahill, but they don't seem to acknowledge the fact of the things that he's done for the farm system that's only going to make this team better moving forward. The acquisitions of Goodwin and La Stella, stuff like that. But more important than anything, the farm system. I mean, it went from almost dead last to top five to top ten, depending on where you look at. And, you know, Joe Adell and Brandon Marsh. And we've talked about these farm guys down at the farm. It's Billy Epler. Billy Epler has done a good job of building a core foundation. And you need time for it to happen. We've talked about on the podcast, this team either tanks and is really, 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 really bad, or they're doing what they're doing right now and then eventually build up. So you got to take it. You got to look at it and say, well, they got to go one way or the other, and at least we're not terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. I voted no. You know, like I said, we're getting a lot of comments, or I'm going to say a lot, but we're getting quite a bit of comments on our Twitter from the poll question. So our buddies at Talking Halos, again, another really good podcast that's out there, they just flat out said nope. You know, so another guy, Ryan DePaul, at Ryan DePaul, he says he has rebuilt the farm, but considering it was dead FL, that wasn't that difficult to do. The Ohtani signing was great, but he also had several dozen of poor decisions. Cahill, Harvey, Cody Allen just took up $28 million
1 year
before we even talk about Borges, Cozart, etc. He's 1 year. Meh. So what do you think?
1 year. That's all I'm saying. Those contracts are all 1 year contracts. This team, what did you want Epler to do? Go out and get guys just to get them? I mean, there was the depth at the free agency market in the last few years wasn't that great. You weren't going to get players that you're going to sign for 2-3 year deals who are, you know, in their prime. Well, you're going to go out and get a 33-year-old guy just because he has a name for himself. And then, yeah, everything that he just mentioned, all the bad stuff, are one-year contracts for transition players, players who are just going to be filling guys till they're able to sign somebody at the free agency market, somebody they can lock up for a couple years, someone who's in the prime of their career. These guys are fillers for players who are going to come into the system, like Joe Adell, Brandon Marsh, who eventually will be key members of the Angels, or even trade chips. So, I disagree with everything he said in that email. I'm sorry.
I mean, yeah, it's cool. It was a comment on Twitter, but it's cool.
Comment on Twitter, sorry.
But no, and I agree, too. Rebuilt the farm, like, I'll go point by point. Rebuilt the farm system, but it was last. But do you know how hard it is to build a farm system when you're not tanking and getting those high draft picks?
Right. You're not terrible. You have to build.
There's not a guarantee that you're going to hit on those draft picks. Right. So you have to have good scouting.
Great scouting.
And you have to be confident in who you're drafting and let them develop. I mean, like you said, the Cahill, Harvey, Cody Allen took up $28 million. That's great. But you're also forgetting about the La Stella. I mean, if he doesn't break his leg and you know, that's no one's fault. I mean,
he's
something
an all-star.
That's nothing that you can. But right. La Stella, bargain basement. Goodwin, bargain basement. Trout is an Angel for life. I just think
Ohtani.
Like, I just think there's a lot of stuff that it's easy to point out the negative, but yeah, it's also very easy to point out the positive and realize, hey, everyone was so concerned about Trout this, Trout that. Trout's going to leave. Trout's going to go to Philadelphia or New York. And that never even came close to happening because he signed with a year left on his contract. And honestly, if he didn't re-sign Trout, then yeah, I think you're right. I think if that extension didn't happen and you're going into an offseason where Trout's like, okay, well, now I'm going to – now, yeah, definitely he'd be on the hot seat. But seeing that he got that, he got Ohtani, he built the farm system. But anyone that wants to go back and listen to any kind of interview Trout's done since the extension, he's always mentioned the farm system and seeing the young talent that's coming up, and that's not by accident.
Absolutely. So to be, yeah, that's it. I can understand the frustration
And that's all it is. It's frustration, which is completely understandable, but that's very pigeonholed, though. Like, that's just right now, not looking long
term. You're not looking at a year or two from now, and you have to. You really do have to. You look at any world championship team, and they have a core foundation. Or even the teams right now that are making a move to the playoffs. You know, you got the Yankees who have a core guys who came up to the system. Didi Gregorius, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge. The core is a farm system. The Braves, a team who I really like, they've got a lot of guys on their team that were farm system guys that came up through the system. You need that core foundation. It's got to start somewhere. The Angels had none of that. And now you look at it, and it's rated one of the top five in Major League Baseball.
Very easily, yeah. Well, I don't know about top five.
Wow.
It's like
between like top five to top ten, depending on what website you go on.
No, they're like, well, see, that's the thing. In the beginning of the year, but now that you have, and this is what hurts the Angels.
Ohtani
and
being not a prospect anymore.
Well, he wasn't a prospect last year. But, no, they're like 15, 16 right now because Canning has graduated.
True.
Renjifo has graduated. I don't think Jaime or Suarez have enough innings pitched. I think they're still considered prospects. Same thing with Dice. Okay. But when your top pitcher that was a top 100 guy,
he
graduated. That's going to hurt. Brandon Marsh injured himself this year. So when the mid-season rankings came out, he dropped out of the 100. So that hurts. That's strictly injury, not really performance-based. And that just kind of shows, too, trade deadline-wise, there wasn't a lot of prospects for the Angels to go out there and trade
and not
a big name.
Guys you just want to give up. You know, they're still very young. You look at the guys the Angels have, and they're young. So, all right. So, moving in, it's about that time. The long-awaited return of the Curator's Chronicles.
Let's go!
It truly is a beautiful day for a ball game. Too bad our Angels are off today, but that's okay. This is another edition of the Curator's Chronicles, coming with you from 21 days before I was born, August 1st, 1982. This is off the Angels website, so we're cheating a little bit. But this involves Doug DeSensei's. So Doug DeSensei's had one of the greatest weeks in Angels baseball history. Began the week August 1st through 8th, and he was awarded AL Player of the Week honors. In that span, DeSensei's hit 500, 12 for 24, 8 home runs, including 3 in one game twice in 1 week.
Wow.
Imagine that. 10 runs scored, 12 RBIs. No other player in AL history has connected for 3 home runs in a game twice in the same week. So pretty impressive stats coming from
Doug Angel, DeSensei's. Third baseman of all time? Yes or no? Doug DeSensei's.
I may. You'd have to probably go with Gloss, just like we were talking about before the show, just because Gloss had that power and he was part of the, you know.
But I think numbers as Angels, I think DeSensei's numbers are probably better. I'm not saying that they are.
We're going to have to pull that up. Where's the stat boy at?
Because he was a guy who he was a power guy for the Angels at third base. He would hit 20 to 30 home runs a season. So, I don't know. I remember him growing up. I more distinctly remember Jack Howell, but, you know.
I know. But thinking about DeSensei, as we talked about, of course, a few years ago, he
tax fraud, tax evasion
charges. But it's always, I don't know about you, when you think about DeSensei, you always think about that iconic
Sports Illustrated
cover with him and Gritch.
Bobby Gritch high-fiving.
High-fiving in the air. That's pretty awesome. I heard they had a fallout. I don't
really
know if they are talking again. But if you're live on Instagram, you can see we got the Doug DeSensei's ball right there. And then he also did the inscription for the years, his years on the Orioles, and then his years on the Angels, his five-year career. One thing, now that I'm looking at this ball, they don't do that anymore.
What, inscribe their years?
No. They don't do the American League ball and the National League ball.
No, it's a Major League
That's like
baseball.
A forgotten thing. So it's American League ball or Major League ball with the commissioner, but that's a Bobby Brown ball. So, you know, that kind of dates it just from there. So when that was autographed.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty nice. All right.
So All right. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Curator's Chronicles. I don't know if you can see that live on Instagram, but I am wearing that Shohei Ohtani pretty sweet Hawaiian shirt. I wanted to show that off for you all. We kind of had a debate if that's culturally appropriate. but, hey, we didn't make it, and we'll go with it.
All right. Cool.
Let's go.
All right, you just listened to another edition of the Curator's Chronicles, coming to you live from Halo Haven headquarters in Riverside, California. All right, so let's wrap up this show with our email questions of the week. We'll get it kicked off with a very loyal listener in Lamar, Washington. From the high of taking the series from the Dodgers to the lowest losing the series to two worst teams in the American League. Man, today's game was terrible. I guess it was yesterday. They did not look at all into it. The offense struggled as much as the pitching. Yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it off air about the momentum swing, the adrenaline kind of just dying off for the Angels there.
Yeah, definitely. Like we kind of again, we're talking before the podcast. You know, you don't want to keep on bringing it up, but it's kind of one of those things. After the Skaggs death, this team. Adrenaline had to be flowing, had to be peaking, especially after the wins at LA. But anyone that's ever been around sports is known that you can only maintain that high kind of emotional peak for so long. And then after a certain time, there's going to be an adrenaline dump. It's nature. It happens. And I think between that and it just looks bad with the teams that they're playing, but I just honestly think they could have been playing literally anybody at any time, but it just seems like they're tired. Their emotions are spent. And honestly, like, as a fan, who can blame them for everything that's going on? It's not something that is normally goes on in a season for anybody. So for them to have a hard time, you know, kind of controlling their emotions, I don't think that's anyone's fault, because it's just, like I said, you'd never expect anything like that when a season starts.
Absolutely. All right. Next email comes from Duncan Healy, Dead Horse, Alaska. Hey there, guys. Very frustrating to see the Angels lose games to teams that bad. I know it's the ups and downs of baseball, but it doesn't make it any easier. They had a chance to take advantage of a situation, and they just didn't. You guys are right. This team is a 500 ball club. Husa namaste. LOL. Frustrating, no doubt. Yeah. We're all frustrated. We were hoping that they'd win these games against teams that they should be beating. They didn't. They got to move forward to keep it competitive. I'm happy. Like I said, all season long, I'm broken record here, but 500 ball club at best. I just want to see have them be competitive moving forward.
No, I completely agree. Yeah, that's the one thing you have to hope for, that they are competitive and they can make the season interesting. But coming into the year, and I think we both said it, you're more than likely going to always be a 500 team. This team's going to be 3 or 4 games above, not really going to be the type that's going to be 10 games up. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those teams that or one of those times where you just wish that, you know, things came out different, but it's just hard with everything going on, like I said, with the passing and the guys getting super up. You know that sooner or later it's going to be down. So hopefully now, kind of like we were saying earlier, you hope that they are able to level themselves, I guess, is a good way of putting it, and are able to, keep themselves competitive, yeah, and normalize, I guess, is a good way of putting it, too.
All right, next one comes from Lauren Codd. Another loyal listener. I haven't think I've read one from Lauren in a while. Beyond frustrated with the week the Angels just had, losing 5 of 7 from really bad teams, some guys here are acting like the sky is falling. I know I was. One of the guys here calmed me down by telling me this. What did you expect? The team isn't really that good. And if they miraculously do make it into a game, wild card spot, how much damage can they really do? That actually did relax me and took me down for a few notches, reminded me of how what you guys talk about. However, still frustrated. Shout out to Rodrigo for calming me down.
Yeah, again, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's not perfect, but, you know, you have to make do with what's going on, and it sucks, it sucks because there was a lot of hope, but reality's a bitch. I mean, I don't know how to put that, but you know, like I said, they're a 500 team. The pitching we talked about a little bit, I think yesterday, between Suarez and Brea, they are super, super raw right now. You could tell that they're, you know, maybe not ready. And if things were different with this season, they might not even be in rotation if the Cahill and Harvey thing actually work out somewhat decent. Now I'm saying they perform great, but if they were manageable, then you would think that something like, you know, those guys wouldn't be in there. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's just hard to say what this team's going to be when you're not sure about the pitching. Again, we're on Instagram Live. So I asked questions earlier in the day. So one question that came through yesterday, earlier today, is King J. Ray asks, who should be our everyday starting catcher, Luke Roy or Stassi?
I mean, I understand the question just because Luke Roy is not a guy who moving forward, I think, is going to be on this team. I don't know what Stassi's contract is or how young he is or how old he is, so probably younger.
Good thing obviously. You asked, because I have that information.
So if he's younger and he's a guy that the Angels are kind of looking to be a part of this team, then obviously Stassi. But if the Angels want to be really competitive, I think Luke Roy brings a lot of veteran leadership to the team. And when he's hot, he can get streaky and kind of do some things offensively that you probably wouldn't get from another catcher. So, I don't know. That's a tough question. I can't really answer that one.
Max Stassi is 28 years old, free agent. And I think this is a big part of why they signed him or why they traded for him. Free agent at the – not till 2023.
Ah, okay.
So you got about another full 3 years of control. He's only making just under $600,000 this year. Again, he's 28. Luke Roy is in his – early three, I think he's 33.
Yeah.
He's making 3.35 this year. Another one of those 1 year contracts. Defensively, and I think this is a big point. Offensive catchers are super rare. So to think that every team is going to have an offensive catcher, because that was the main thing when the signing or the trade happened, was like, why are you getting a catcher that can't hit? Well, it's not like the catchers that we had now were really killing the ball.
Right.
So,
beer.
Yeah. So anyways, I forgot my train of thought, but no, Max Stassi defensively is an upgrade. Part of the struggles they had against the Orioles was that the fact that the Orioles were able to steal 10 bases on the Angels. So when you are constantly putting guys in motion and constantly putting guys that maybe are singles, now they're in scoring position, that puts a lot of pressure on pitching staffs and everything else. So the fact that they couldn't throw out a base runner to save their lives has something to do with it. He's a great defensive guy, a lot better defensive than than the Angels have already. Framing pitches is a big deal with catchers now, and he's like at the top five in framing pitches and making what should be balls strikes. So again, I think I kind of think Stassi's going to be that, because you have him until 2023, so you have to figure out exactly what you do have. Another question I asked Rhett Bollinger of MLB.com. So if you haven't checked out that podcast, listen to that one also, because we talk about it and he gives his opinion on it. So definitely something to look out for. But I think at first they might go 50-50, but I think over time, I think Max will probably get more of the everyday. Not even every day. When I say the majority of the at-bats, I'm saying like 3 out of 5 days kind of deal.
Right. Next email comes from Edward Vizcaino. With the Astros moves, does this pretty much mean that they knew, I think you said that they knew, or that they were letting Gerrit Cole walk away? And do the Angels have a legit shot at him? What do you think?
Funny thing, I talked to Red Bollinger about it
plug,
today
plug.
On the podcast from earlier today. So I want to tell you what he said, because he actually gave us some really good insight on it. So definitely listen to that. Yeah, I think, I mean, not only that, but the pitching coach now was a minor league development coach for them. So obviously not the pitching coach that worked with Cole, but a guy connected to the organization, and a guy connected to the Astros. So I think honestly, with Greinke being signed and that huge number that he brings with them, Cole, I think it's going to go to the free agent, and I think the Angels need to put kind of like the full court press on him and go after it and be able to, you know, solidify that top of the rotation kind of guy.
Yeah, young, and we know what he can do. Last email that comes to us from allangelspodcast@gmail.com comes from Trevor Billings. He said, "Hey guys, saw that Joe Adell got moved up AAA. Anyway, see him as a September call up." I don't think so. I think a lot of it has to do with like service time stuff, I think. I don't even know if he breaks camp with the Angels next year. I think, again, remember what the Blue Jays did with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where he didn't make the team out of spring training because of the service time stuff and how the contract works. I don't know exactly what Joe's contract is, but I just don't see him being the guy till maybe next year, maybe next year. This year, for sure, I don't think so. What do you think, Daniel?
I'm kind of going to hold to what I think, because what I think and Rhett think are the same thing, and guess what? I asked them. No, I asked Rhett the same question, and we are pretty much on the same train track as far as that thought. It's great news for Joe deserves it. He's, like I said earlier, he's been killing it. But you know, I'm gonna say I agree with Red and tell you guys to go check out that podcast. So again, we're on Instagram Live, and so I asked questions earlier, and so one of them from Angel Central_ said, who was better player, Reggie Jackson or Bo Jackson?
So we were talking about this off air, and if you're going on better ball player as far as just talent wise, you got to go with Bo Jackson.
Because he knows.
Well, yeah, he knows everything, but his career was shortened due to injuries because of playing football. The dude played football at a very high level and played baseball at a very high level, and we never got to see him play
a full season of Major League Baseball. A full career of either.
Yeah. But baseball-wise, I mean, Reggie Jackson was a strictly power guy, hit a lot of home runs, but he struck out a lot. So Reggie is definitely Hall of Fame deserving. He's probably one of the greatest Yankees of all time. I don't know if he's one of the greatest Angels of all time. He had maybe two good years with the Angels, but that's a tough question because Reggie Jackson was my first favorite baseball player as like a little bitty kid. You know, that little bitty kid that knows nothing, Reggie Jackson was my guy. I would even do the whole this thing. And Reggie Jackson is my dad's
favorite. He fixes glasses, just so you know.
Reggie Jackson is my dad's favorite baseball player, so I am kind of biased towards Reggie. But man, I just remember the Bo Jackson hype machine, and I'm a Bo guy, man. I had the Bo shoes and everything. So
yeah, Bo Jackson. And again, yeah, that's just one of those unfortunate things where you never saw him fully develop into either one of them, and he could have had a really good career. Especially later on in his career, maybe just being strictly just a DH in baseball, being with the Royals. So I'm going to say Bo was a better athlete, but, I mean, the careers are what they are, so you're going to have to say Reggie. Right. Just because, obviously, yeah, just because it's longer. He has a career. So definitely that. The next one I'm gonna go over from our Instagram Live is from Ryan Baltazar. He was there last week, so it was cool to see him back again. If the Angels are not an option, who would you like to see win the World Series?
Atlanta Braves. I just like the core group that they have. They made some really good moves to solidify themselves. Ronald Acuña Jr. is a great player. I don't know. I like the Braves a lot. I really like the Braves.
They are super. When I went down to San Diego a couple weeks ago, that's the team the Padres played was the Braves, and they are exciting. They're, like you said, they're young. They have a lot of kind of energy around them. Acuña is incredible. So it would be awesome to see them, win the World Series or at least even get to it. So that's definitely something that I would like to see.
No more.
No, we got more. I saw you looking at your phone, so
no,
I didn't know.
Nope.
If you had anything. So we got Joe_. Salvador, SAAVEDRA 12. I like the 12 at the end. If we look into the future, you think the Angels can win it all next year?
Ooh, no. It's just hard for me to like, even if they got Garrett Cole or, you know, made some key acquisitions, it's just hard for me to say, yeah, they're world champions. They haven't even played a game yet as a 2020 team yet. So I'm just going to say no. But anything can happen. I think the team's going to be drastically better. They're going to make moves. I talked about it on a lot of fan forums where this team, I think, is going to be in play for like a Garrett Cole, they've kind of held back on signing key guys for certain reasons. The Angels didn't go out and jump the gun and sign guys like they did in years before just because they had a name or they were available to them. They've kind of stayed pat. They've got the money to spend. They got a good young core group of guys that are going to be coming up. So I do think this team will be drastically better, only going to get better. They know what moves they need to make. They're going to have some guys coming off of contracts. So they'll be able to spend money. And you never know what Billy Epler can do on the trade market during the offseason as well. So to say they're going to win the World Series, no, they're not a favorite because right now they're not just not that team. But you never know coming into 2020.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think they take a step next year. I think they are a playoff team. A lot of it's going to have to depend on how the Astros are next year because let's just say Cole switches teams and he goes straight from the Astros to the Angels. Great, they're still going to have Verlander. They're going to have Greinke. They're going to have Aaron Sanchez, where we haven't even mentioned that trade they got. Granted, they're not going to have a lot of depth in their farm system, but they're going to have three really good pitchers. And Wade Miley is another guy that's probably, I think, is going to be there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the division goes. But I really do think that Angels – this year I thought they could compete for that second wild card spot. I think next year they can get that second wild card spot. I mean, if all the moves happens that you think is going to happen, or you hope that happens, they should get that second wild card spot, even maybe not even the first spot. But as far as like a division World Series type, I don't know about that, because again, you have Astros, you're going to see how the other young teams are going to be doing, but they should definitely, I definitely think they should make a playoffs. You know, whether it's a first wild card, second wild card, something like that, I don't know. But I think they should definitely be able to get into that part of the standings where they're in the middle of it.
And the other thing, I think going into next year, they know that there's some holes that need to be filled, you know, in the lineup. I think that Cozart experiment is pretty much going to be over. I know it's final year of his contract next year.
Right, yeah. I think
Cozart, they know that he's not the guy to look
at
now.
And I think if Theis continues to have the year he's had with his versatility playing both corner positions,
right.
I think that's a guy that you have to keep up.
Right.
You have to let him keep on developing, especially if he finishes this season on a hot streak. Cozart, I mean, you can't really flip him for anything because he hasn't played in the last pretty much year and a half. So you can't really ask for a whole lot. But it's cool to see the young players developing and being on the team now, like a Fletcher, like a Renjifo, like a Theis, Joe getting to AAA and now being one step away. So it's definitely cool. It's going to be cool seeing what's going on with the Angels next year when a lot of these young players are going to be competing. Griffin Canning's going to have another year under his belt and see how he matures and see how if Suarez and Barea can take that next step, because that's going to be a big part of next year's development as a team.
Absolutely. So a lot to look forward to for next season. I do think there'll be players this year. There's guys actually out there this year that they should be going after, as opposed to the last couple of years. I think the free agent market wasn't guys that you wanted to throw money at, and I think we can both agree on that. You know, like Keuchel.
Even this year, and that's the hard part, and that's why I feel like you have to go all in on Garrett
Cole.
Cole.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
After him, there's not.
Well, anything. there's guys that they can get,
but no one that's going to be
crucial.
That number one
yeah.
guy that you're looking
right.
for. It's going to be a bunch of guys that are going to be like threes and fours. Like,
yeah.
Okay, cool. But there's, after Cole, there's not a number one out right. there.
But he can make a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm saying you put him in a room with Trout, with Ohtani.
And the Angels have the money. They have the money.
No. And that's the biggest thing. People want to say like, oh, they spent $28 million on these guys. Great. They're one-year deals.
Yeah.
Now, guess what? They're gone. Let's put that 28, throw another $4 or $5 million on there, make it 32. And give it to Cole for next year and the year after that.
And that's why I don't worry about – people always get so worried about, they spend so much money on these people. One-year contracts.
There's a saying. There's no such thing as a one-year contract.
They didn't lock them up for you. You don't owe them money for the next 2-3 years. They're done. Wipe your hands clean. We can go get Garrett Cole next year if we wanted to, if they really try to.
You roll a dice and you crapped out. But guess what? Now you're coming off a fresh kind of payroll. So now you can, like you said, go after Cole and hopefully go pick him up and get that frontline starter that the Angels really need. And guess what? Ohtani's pitching next year. So you're almost, by default, you're gaining a pitcher next year, whether you sign a guy.
Griffin Canning is probably going to be your number three.
Right.
That's great.
If you go Cole, Ohtani, Canning.
Suarez.
I mean, even if
Miley, if they pick up a Miley.
Well,
or
Pena, Roark's going to be a free agent next year that can fit in that 3-4 range very well. You know, Pena's pitching really well, and if he does, and he might, you know, depending on how he finishes the season, he might deserve that shot to break camp in the rotation again. And if he's like your 4 or 5, then I think you have a really good rotation. Right now, Pena is like the 2, and you can't have a good rotation with Pena being a 2.
Yeah, and let's not forget the bullpen's getting better with Keenan Middleton and J.C. Ramirez. Next year we'll be ready to go and locked and loaded. Luis Garcia making.
Am I the only one? And I'll ask you this, but I am not. People are concerned about the bullpen also, but I am not super concerned about it going into next year because of the fact that they found guys like a Robles that wasn't really well known. They found a Buttrey that they were able to get. So in my eyes, I'm thinking, okay, they might be able to find these guys in the bullpen guys a lot easier than they're able to find starting pitching guys.
Right.
Because they have done it already. So, you know, like you said, Middleton's coming back.
Wow.
And Robles, you know, Robles, Buttrey, Cam, we'll see what they do with Cam. Cam's kind of like always been that question mark, but he's been really, really hot. He's been really, really cold, so it depends on what they want to do. But I'm not so much worried about the bullpen more so than the starting pitching,
well,
for sure.
I'm not worried because if they do go out and get a Gerrit Cole and a Tanner Roark, that makes the rotation by leaps and bounds better, and it saves the bullpen. If this bullpen wasn't pitching the amount of innings it's been pitching
every
year,
other,
imagine how good they're good enough as it is. But imagine if they were pitching what a normal bullpen would be pitching. They'd be great.
Yeah, and you kind of saw in the beginning of the year where, you know, where they were dominating in the beginning of the year when everyone's fresh and everyone's, you know, competing at a high level, and they dominated, and you saw that. Now, you just got to figure out a way to get them rest the whole way through.
Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that's all we got as far as questions. Again, you guys can email us at any time at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. And on the Instagram and Twitter, it's Halo_Haven. So if you have any questions for us on there, go ahead and shoot us a question. We'll try to answer your questions on the podcast or when we go on Instagram Live as well. Halo_Haven. I got nothing else. Unless you got something, Daniel.
Just an update real quick on Joe Adell. Singled for his first AAA hit in the second. He is now 1-for-2 as
awesome.
We speak. So, again, good things happening with Joe in AAA. And this is a guy that the Angels are going to – I mean, if you have 2 All-Stars in the outfield – you know, it's going to help out a lot. But, yeah, so.
That saves the pitching as well.
That saves pitching as well, because if you get a big enough lead, you don't got to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's it for us today. Again, like you said, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. It's all the same, Halo_Haven. If you listen to us on the iOS, on Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us, leave a comment, help us kind of spread the word to the other people looking for an Angel podcast, because there's a couple out there that are really good, but you know, there's definitely not enough to I guess be a big presence in the Apple podcast world. So definitely give us a review, give us a comment. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again, 5 stars means we're doing a really good job. 5 stars means we're doing a really bad job. So you know, rate accordingly. And I found out today we're on iHeartRadio.
I saw that. I thought you knew already.
Yeah. I found that out. I was kind of doing
it. And CastBox. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Johnny's all on the new kids. Yeah. So we're on iHeartRadio app. That one's a little more digging. I found out you got to like go Angels Podcast, All Angels Podcast, put like all podcasts and then scroll down a little bit and you'll see us. But yeah, definitely the easiest way to do it is Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You type in our name and boom, we pop
Google
up right
Podcasts
away.
Too. We're on
right.
There.
So,
well,
so. There's no excuse why you shouldn't be listening or
exactly.
Or at least telling a friend to listen, because
and we promise the curator will be on more often.
Yeah, and we'll probably be in Halo Haven more often too.
I
so
don't know.
You know, next season, because we got a month to 2 months left.
Absolutely. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for us. I am Johnny Maggs.
I am Dan Garcia.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.